Well, we're going back over today. We're still on the area of the power of confession. I surely didn't think we were going this long. I mean, I didn't have enough notes to go this long when I started. But every time I go along, the Lord just comes back to me during the week on here. You know, sometimes, you know, He don't tell me certain things till. So He brought certain things to my mind this week, you know, down here, and things keep coming to me. You know, and I always don't spend a lot of time praying a lot about it. I just keep listening into my spirit. I keep doing things that I listen to what's going on, and there are certain things that will keep rising up in me. You know, sometimes you get over praying and stuff, and you know what? You cut your spirit off. Many times people do. They get so noisy in their prayer and in doing stuff, we're not hearing our spirit. It's one thing as I learned, if you're led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. In other words, you'll operate like a son. So sometimes you've got to hear on the inside. And so hearing on the inside. We want to go this morning. Very familiar scripture. One I'm going to open with is Proverbs 18 and 21. It's amazing. People talk about Proverbs being the book of wisdom. How many ever go to it very often? You might have a wisdom problem. It's a book of wisdom. And I always hear ministers talk about the book of wisdom, and I listen to ministers talk and do things and say things, and I think, well, if it's a book of wisdom, you sure need to go there. Because you're saying things, doing things, it ain't according to the book of wisdom. And so, because while there is a lot of wise things in here, is number one, there is more said about confession and talking in the Bible than it talks about being born again. Why? Because this is what, born again is hugely important. But I'm going to tell you, you can mess up a good born again with your mouth. You couldn't get born again without your mouth. And it says so much about it, and we need to take the seriousness of it. Why? Because it's a hugely powerful thing. Now, in Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, we see this from the beginning. In the mouth of Satan, death came, and words of death were spoken to Eve, and she bought those words of death. She followed them and then spoke them to her husband. Death. There's also life. We got born again. We got the life of God through words spoken through our mouth. You know, and people say, oh yeah, you know, just believe on Jesus. I'm sorry, that ain't enough. You got to confess Him.
Amen.
People run around and say these things. And people think, well, I believe this and I believe that. The reason you believe, well, what's your confession? You say, I believe it. Yeah, what's your confession? They haven't confessed it. They just said, I believe it. People say, I believe the Bible's true. Great. Hell's full of people that believe the Bible was true. See, we need to know the power. When we believe the Word of God and we put it on our mouth, it changes things. Prayer is of no success without the Word of God on the lips of a person. You can pray and pray and pray. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Words, hearing the Word. It don't say, you know, hearing it. That's why, you know, I speak the Word to myself. I say that all the time. Speak the Word to myself. Why? Faith comes by hearing. Amen. I want to tell you what. You will, if you're just a reader of the Bible, you'll never have as much faith as a person, the speaker of the Bible. Because I know, thank God, I'm glad I have an anointing to teach and preach the Word. Because I say it a lot. Faith comes by hearing. Some people say, I wouldn't want to be a preacher. Thank God I am. I'm saying the Word a lot. I'll tell you what, I was a good preacher before I was a preacher. I would say the Word a lot. I learned to do that. Death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. And it says this, and those who love it, love what? Either death or life. He said, love it. Well, eat its fruit. You need to understand this. When we talk about love, see, people today do this, you know, I love this person, or I love this, or I love that. You know, you what you really love, you're going to spend time with and do. You know, you're not going to have a love for life always talking death stuff, talking things that are wrong, doing it. Now, people don't even realize they do it. We have this in our lives. The Lord was talking to me about this week because people do this, and He wants to remind people. We have certain areas of our life that we've learned to speak life concerning, and we have areas of our life that we speak death. We have the contrary on other areas. We say things. We say things that aren't right. We say things that are contrary to our own well-being, even our in situations we want to change, make wrong words. So I've watched this. Preachers do it all the time. They'll say one thing and then say another thing contrary to it. You know, it's like people say, well, God's in control. And then the preacher acts like, and then he says that. And then he'll go on to say, make statements like God's not in control. You know, well, it's about your will. You do God's in control. Then I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing. I'm doing exactly, you know. Well, see, we have that. We have these contrary words said. People talk about grace. Grace is entered into by faith. And it's faith in God's word. So therefore, if my words and actions are different, I can't take a hold of grace. I can ask for it all I want. It's entered into by faith. You got born again by the grace of God, not on asking Jesus into your heart. That's not in Scripture. But see, people are doing these things and saying these things. We need to bring this down. We've taken a really wonderful system God set up. It's so simple. And we've made it to fit our culture. And if last time I checked American culture, it's pretty evil. And it's into the American church up to our necks. And we don't identify it. We have sayings and words we do. This is why we need to be careful and think about things and situations. Even like situations going on, things might be going bad in our life. We need to be careful what we say about it. We need to be careful and choose. There's nothing wrong to say, hey, we've got a problem here in dealing this. But people get to extremes all the time in it and then say certain things. The other thing, I'm trusting God in this. Well, why did you say that?
Amen.
Why? Those were words that you heard yourself say. And if you believe they're true, they're affecting you. They're affecting you. See, we need to get a hold of this stuff. You know, guard yourself. Amen. It's like, and like Mike knows about it, like, you know, back in the days of the confession police. Man, you said certain things. Somebody jump on you about it.
Amen.
And people thought, oh, they're being mean. No, they ain't trying to save your stupid life.
Yeah. Come on.
That's right.
They were. People didn't realize it. They go, oh, you know, why? We're Americans. We have free speech. My God, sometimes they ought to take that out of the Constitution. For most people, they're idiots. Free speech is made for people who are godly. It is not made for the dumb, the stupid. It is not made for them. You think our founding fathers thought people would be as stupid as they are today? It wasn't because they were just such godly people, but they had a moral structure that is totally lost among most of people who think they're good. Even Christians, many Christians don't even live near the moral structure of what they did. And see, we need to get ourselves thinking about this. Number one, love life, love life, love life. See, God wants to bring things to pass. He wants to bless people. People ask for blessing, then hurt themselves in ways that they speak. They're hurting themselves. They're saying things. Why? We're going to eat the fruit of our words, whether they're good or bad. We're going to have fruit of our words. Faith comes by hearing, you know. And this doesn't mean that there's times, you know, people are just joking around and talking about and say certain things. That's all in fun. But there's too many people saying too many things. They're seriously saying them. They're seriously saying them. And it is not good. They're seriously saying things about things. And it hurts them. On the one side, they're saying words over here. It's like James said, got a fountain. You can't put two different words out. Your mouth is a fountain that you're drinking from. We're usually upset. Like I was always amazed at Christians yelling about Biden all the time. And I thought, my God, if they'd ever get their mouth straight. See, Biden ain't their problem. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. My life didn't change under Biden. I was the same man in and the same man out.
Amen.
He didn't change my health. He didn't change my wealth. He didn't change none of that.
Praise God.
And so we have to be careful about what we say. The people he affected, most of them's mouth was their affection, what affected them. It was what was in their lives of what they were saying was their problem. You know, I did, you know, he did things I didn't like, but I'll tell you what, he didn't take the smile out of my mouth. See, we have all these choices, and we need to get a hold of this fact, because we have this place of power that we want to affect a nation. If I can't affect me in the right direction, what's the good chance I'm going to fix things nationally or anything like that? See, affect me. It's our approach. Can I see, you know, it's like most people, you know, oh man, our nation's going down the tube, and there when Biden was on and all this kind of stuff. You know, every time I get over and talk to God about things, I couldn't get nowhere near to worry about the future. Because I got to listen to heaven, and everybody else is listening. They ain't listening to heaven. They're listening to, you know, Newsmax, and they're listening to this, and they're listening. I'm sorry. I got a newspaper from heaven. And you know, it's been written a few years back, but it's still as darn accurate as could be. And you know what? I see the future. And Ed's got a good one.
Amen.
I don't know about yours. I don't read your future. I read mine. See, we need to get ourselves in this thought, in this place of thinking. Why? Our joys gets robbed and our things there, you know, and all those things get... Let's not let that happen to us. In the middle of circumstances, be careful on things about this because of our mouths and what's said. In Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says this, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit, our tongue. Our tongue hurts your spirit. Your tongue can hurt your own spirit. Understand this as a Christian. Our spirit is the place faith comes out of. You hurt it and you will not have faith coming out of it. See, this is why, you know, Jesus made things like, guard in your heart. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. It isn't about, you know, there's many voices out here that Scripture says, none without significance. I want to tell you what your most significant voice is, yours. It's not mine. It's yours. It's yours. You know, if I would stand up here, no matter how much you'd think I said something good, it wouldn't have as much effect on you unless you're saying it. That's the greatest effect on you. See, when I got saved, I got preached what to do to be saved. Didn't do me any good till I did it.
Amen.
Till I made the confession. Till I believed it and made the confession. Didn't do me a bit of good. The preacher was happy.
Right.
He was doing good.
Amen.
But I didn't get doing good till I put it on my mouth.
Amen.
You know, that's why, you know, the other week here Mike said about, you know, he'd get scriptures and he'd write them down. See, you know, when the whole time, you know, he read them, he saw them, he's writing them down, he's seeing them, he's going over it. The whole time he's talking to himself as he writes them down. See, I'm writing this thing down, getting it down in here. I'm doing this thing. He's putting it in himself. It's helping him. That's how he's helping him by doing them. Then he gets that things out and he reads them. See, you get those things in you. See, people don't do that today. People are not as, you know, they'll have their little Bible reading here or something that they do, but they don't realize the power that's in this thing. Once I learned about the power of this thing mucho years ago, man, I found out I can change things by my voice, by what I say in my life. I can change things. And the first thing really that God dealt with me with is about, because see, I hated sickness. I'll tell you, too many people, good people, don't hate sickness enough.
That's right.
Willing to put up with too much. They don't see the importance. I'm going to tell you, I got vaccinated back in 1980, and it's held ever since. It's held ever since. But you know what? I kept getting boosters. I kept with the word. I would talk it. I'd say it. I sent myself constantly saying things, constantly speaking things of the word, taking boosters all the time. Most people, you know what? They get sick and then want to take the shot. It's too late. Like I tell you, get the flu. Don't take the flu shot if you got the flu. You're going to feel a lot worse.
Amen.
All you'll get out of it is when you take it, once you had the shot, you just feel worse that you didn't do it before. You got to do that. It's a wholesome tongue. It's what? A tree of life. Now you think about a tree. We're not thinking about grass or a weed growing. A tree. It's something that's been grew. Something that takes root. It's something that you know, goes out here in a storm and stands. Something. It's a tree. See, your tongue's a tree. What? And you know what? You're going to eat the fruit of that tree. The tree. What kind of tree? What kind of tree do you have? See, make sure that you have a tree of life. This is what you're doing. The tree is life, you know. Some people, they did this thing where, you know, what do they call that when they put something in the plants? Yeah, they graft. Too many people have grafted limbs in that ain't good on their trees. But, you know, it's like, you know, make sure. Don't do any grafting. Don't do any of that. Hallelujah. Make sure that your fruit is good. Hallelujah. You want to get along thinking in that line because it's number one. Understand this, and I've said this a lot about faith. One of the things the Lord taught me years and years ago was the fact that faith, my words that I'm speaking are setting my future. If you're running into a future you don't like, you created it. The government don't create its future. Things around me, you don't create my future. I do. I create my future. And see, there's things that people want in advance. They ain't going to go there because they have not prepared with their mouth. You know, God will give you, it says, the desires of your heart. And but you need to understand this. You can get a desire in your heart, but there's more than just having desire. You got to be speaking that thing. You got to have things of the Word. You know, Mike brought up the other week and reminded us, you know, the thing of the Scripture. That angels respond to the voice of God's Word. In other words, you speaking God's Word. You know, many times Christians, angels aren't responding to them. Although they'd like to. And God's trying to minister to people. But they're not voicing the Word of God. They're voicing other things. They're voicing, angels respond to the voice of the Word of God. In other words, you get God's Word on your voice and angels respond to it. They'll respond to you accordingly as using that. And so you need to know that having the Word of God is a powerful thing. That the forces of God respond. In other words, people want angels. I will just tell you this. One of the reasons people don't see as much angels over the last couple of decades here is because people don't have those visitations or see them. It's because of their mouth. The mouth of the church has not been good. We haven't set an atmosphere. We need to understand. I want you to understand. If my voice has the power to move the spirit realm with angels, it also has, if I say the wrong things, to move demonic powers to begin to work. Amen. And against me, saying the wrong things, you, whether you like it or not, you can requisition demons to come and start to work against you. Mm-hmm. By making wrong statements about stuff, saying things about situations and about things. You know, we need to be careful about these in ourselves. I'm going to use an example, you know, a person here. It's one of the things is a person who had another person died in their life and they keep making this statement. Now, this is a wonderful Christian. And I mean, I've known him for years and years and years. Wonderful person. And they keep saying, my heart's broken. My heart's broken. You know, and that's it. They keep saying that. Well, number one, they're a Christian. Their heart is not broken. But by what they're saying, what they're talking about, they're saying, well, you know, asking God to comfort them and stuff. I'm sorry to say it ain't going to happen till they change what they say. Mm-hmm. Yep. Your heart is your life source.
Amen. That's right.
Is it broken? A person dies. That don't break your heart. You're dealing with your emotions. Because, see, if you go to this person goes to the Bible, if your heart's broken, then now you're something's wrong with your heart. See, we have that, the Americans say this kind of stuff all the time. Oh, my heart's broken about this or that. If you're a Christian, don't be talking that stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. Your heart is what you protect. The person's dealing with their emotion. They're dealing with their soul. If I go to the Scripture and I start looking up heart and I find out my heart's messed up, I find out this. I'm in trouble. You can't, if it ain't working right, well maybe, and I say, can I get into faith? My heart ain't working right. It's broken. See, Don't, see, some people think, well, this is getting touchy. This is why Christians can't get healed. They can't get delivered of stuff. They have the messes in their life because they think all this stuff is just insignificant.
Amen.
Well, go ahead. Keep thinking it's insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not insignificant because don't speak against your own spirit.
Amen.
That's your place of life. Deal with it. The person's dealing with their emotions. They're dealing with their soul. And you know what? My heart can take a hold of something and help my soul. But if my heart is broken, my soul ain't getting fixed. This is why people today, somebody dies in the family and they can't get over it their whole life. The person's in heaven. Now they talk about all the persons in heaven with God. Wouldn't you get excited about that? If that was real, why? Because their emotions are so hurt and they can't get it fixed, they stay in the negative side. You can't go. You can, your tongue will take you to eat the fruit of one or the other.
Amen. Fruits.
See, this is what I learned. When things like this stuff happen, I learned, man, my heart is my safe place. That's my place of power. That's the place that restores Ed. That's the place where the Holy Ghost is in fellowship with Ed's heart.
Right.
And if I want help, that's the place I look to help. I don't look down there and say, well, that's a broke place. See, no, that's the source of life.
Amen.
See, my emotions are hurt. My things, those are hurt. And I need help in those areas. And the source of life is only the Holy Ghost inside my heart. My heart's not broken.
Amen.
My heart's in good shape. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. There's life in there that will sustain me in this time when my emotions are hurt in this area.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you know why we're in a mess in America, American church? Because most of what's called spiritual ain't nothing but emotional. It's people's emotions. They'll call spiritual things ain't nothing but emotions. It ain't nothing but in the sense realm. And they call it spiritual. And they don't know what spiritual is. There's one thing. The spirit realm is full of power. And our mouth controls this thing. That's the switch that turns this thing on and off. It's a switch that calls. You saw what God said to you to be born again. And your mouth speaking out of your heart caused you to be born again. Amazing.
Yes.
If it could do that, what else could it change?
Amen.
My God. See, get over into seriousness of this thing. And this is why, you know, guard yourself. Sit down and take a time about things. About what do I want to say? Even with talking to God, what do I want to say? What do I want to talk to Him? What do I need to know from Him? What do I really need to know? You know, most of the time people are praying out of their emotions and not from their heart. Oh, my heart, oh, this... And their heart ain't even involved in it. Their heart's down there, man, I got it. I know what I'm doing. And they're out there in their emotions saying, I'm talking out of my heart. Never spoke out of their heart one time. They're out there in their emotions talking to God about their feelings, how they feel about the thing. Say, God, help me. No, I stop and say, God, I'm dealing with my emotions. I decide. The Word of God is a sword that can divide the spirit and the soul. You've got to know. You've got to know whether you're talking to God out of your spirit or out of your soul. You know, my soul's messed up. I'll tell God, my soul's messed up. You know, Lord, I need help in my mind. I need help in my emotions. I need help in this area. The heart's good. It's born again. Got the Word in it. Divide it. Most Christians never divide it. They swear they talk to God. They've done something. I prayed. It was spiritual. And it was all out of the soul. It was all out of the soul. And why don't you talk to God about your soul? But define it to Him. Lord, I know I'm talking out of my soul. I'm talking out of my emotion. You know what? David, read his song. David, a bunch of stuff. He started off talking about his soul. His soul's all messed up. He's all this going, look what's happening out of here. And my enemy's against me. And then finally, the spirit of prophecy kicks in. Oh, hey, I've got it now and they're in big trouble. You ever been there?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sad to say, there's many Christians never even get there. They'll live in their soul their whole life. They'll stay in their soul. And I don't blame them because lots of times ministry ends up that way. All soul stuff. It's not out of the spirit. So you know about yourself. Realize the power that you have. You can change your life and you can help others. It's getting people to listen. It's not an easy thing to do today. Everybody has their say. And their say ain't good. Like, don't matter what I say. Hallelujah. If it isn't what God said. And that's why it's getting the Word of God. See, this is so important. In Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercing of the sword. But he said, the tongue of the wise promotes health. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we've gone on and on. I just sort of think it's funny, you know, because really, we really haven't had a lot of wisdom over there. We talk about all these things of science they come up with in the medical fields, but we haven't any wisdom. Are people getting healthier? No. See, they say, oh, we found all kind of cures. Why? Because people are unhealthy. People are getting, we got to find a lot of cures because people are unhealthy. Now, I want to talk about that because this week, now, you folks have heard me say concerning the areas of depression. This is one thing, I've never found a depressed person who talks right. I've never run into one yet. And I'm going to tell you, psychologists have never run into one yet.
That's right.
In fact, they just did a study I read this week. These psychotherapists, they have a thing they call now, they call it talk therapy. And they found this out. They started doing a study on severely depressed people. And when they start to, and they sit under this psychotherapist sits under this thing where they start to get them to talk right about things and start to get them to talk about stuff other. Now, they have been using CAT scans even with their brain, and they found out the brain changes when they start talking right. The brain. Now, you need an effect of this. I don't know if you remember, if any of you has read after John G. Lake. John G. Lake, he used to use like x-ray. And he would, like a guy had a broken bone and that stuff was infected, and he told the doctors, watch. And he laid hands on it, prayed for the guy, and they watched it being healed. They watched the bone being healed and the infection and stuff. See, they're naturally, you understand, your body is responding to your mouth. What you say. I don't care what you eat. Eating's all right, but I'm going to tell you, if you're eating the fruit of a wrong mouth, I don't care, you ain't going to keep your body doing good. You know, like we might, even from the sinners. Sinner goes out here and does things and works out and does things to take care of his body. You find out these people have a mental way of talking about, they always talk good about themselves and their bodies and stuff and things like that. Does a lot for them. I'm going to tell you, your psychology is in your hands, not in somebody else's. If you're depressed, you are. You made it. Now, we're not going to be ugly. It's not being. It just is. When you recognize that fact, see, the greatest thing that I recognized when I started back in the early 1980s of listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching of the Word and started listening to the Word, I realized how much I had hurt my life. I realized Ed wasn't the problem. I realized he taught me, your wife, what she does ain't the problem. Your life, it doesn't matter. It's you. It's you. What do you do about yourself? You know, what Wanda did, God would not, when I first got born again, Wanda, God would not allow me to whatever she did to change what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't allowed to lose my joy if she did something. Wasn't allowed to. If I made mention to God about her doing something, He'd always find some fault with me on something. So I learned to quit going to Him about that. Most Christians' problems, they've never checked themselves out long enough to have an encounter with God. I had so many encounters with God, and I'm so thankful. Most of them were not like these great cheerful things. Most of them were correction to me. I had hundreds of them that were correction to me about my problems. That I needed to fix about me. Mm-hmm. And so we need to understand this about ourselves because, you know, we want something in a direction and we want a future, but we got to set that thing. We got to decide. You decide now. I'm just going to tell you the truth. There are people who are waiting too long in life to really get themselves to set right in a direction. They wait too long. Because you don't, some things you ain't going to do overnight. It takes time to build yourself and build yourself in a way of thinking and build yourself. You got to do it. You got to decide it now. See, if you've been spending 40 years reading, you know, the Bible, you know, a couple times a week and doing it, maybe having a little reading here or there and that kind of, but not really studying the Word, not really getting into it, not really confessing the Word or doing things like that, you ain't got much going for you. This stuff takes time. You know? Now, you know, you guys think I preach long. You ought to see how long I study and long I do to get rid of some of this stuff. How would you do? You know, you want 20-minute serving? Well, you'll have a 20 minutes of healing. That's probably about it in your life. Depends what you want. See, we need to decide it. This takes work. I don't know any other way to do it, you know? So if I went to Rhema, that's what you tell us in school all the time. How do you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. It's work. You know? But we really need to understand this. It's putting this wonderful Word of God into you. You know, and I just encourage it. You got it. This Bible got to be something that you're eating, because number one, we got to pick up this change. This isn't something that's hard to do. Other things are more fun. I'm going to tell you what. I have a lot of fun with my health.
Amen.
I have a lot of fun, and there's a lot of people my age ain't having no fun.
That's right.
A lot of Christians my age don't have no fun.
That's right.
Because they spent all their time playing fun that turned out for a future that wasn't fun.
Amen.
You know, you can go for a while. You know what? The Lord is good and His mercy endures for a long, long time. But I'm going to tell you what. Your mouth may catch up with you. But I found out there's things. You just work at it and you continually. There's things I continue to say. Over my time as a Christian, the Lord reminded me things turned out certain ways. And He reminded about me. Remember speaking and you used to say this? Well, here it is. This is what you said. And it's here. See, it's here. See, He told me to do that when I saw this thing of finances. Just turn around. See, speak the finances of your future. Don't wait till something comes to have need money. Start speaking to your future. He said, when you get there, it'll be ready for you. You'll have it. Oh, and I started to see it. Wow. See, they didn't teach us that way. You know, it was always just believe at the time. They taught us this about healing. Oh, just at the time now we're believing God for healing. Well, I decided this. I didn't want healing. I didn't want to get sick. Now, most people, well, you know, I believe God for healing. I believe God for health.
Amen.
I'm one up on you.
Praise God.
See, that's what you want to do. Why? Thank God they taught us that, how to believe for healing, but that wasn't a place to stop. Let's go to something greater.
Amen.
See, and I looked in the Word, I found something greater. Thought, well, you know, I don't have to have that. I don't want this. I don't want to get sick and get healed. Let's stay healed. Mm-hmm. I like healed.
Yes.
I like healed.
Amen.
I like health. But see, over the years, the thousands and thousands and thousands of times that I spoke and I said things and I spoke things concerning health. See, it is about your future and going there. And so we need to look at. Sometimes, you know, I found out there in things, there's plants I had to dig up. Some of them took some root more than I wanted. You got to dig them up. Hallelujah. There's some things that I learned this. I was doing good on a certain level, but I had to change my level and plant a different, I had to have a different crop. See, this most people do. They stay at that crop they planted in the beginning. They never plant a better one, you know. They never go to something, you know. They've been eating a certain, you know, tomato plant that was pretty good, but there's some out here, boy, they'll put up a really good, great tasting tomato. No, they'll always just keep growing that same one. You know, no, you gotta go up. See, many people in their spiritual life, I find people do. People come to me and say, I don't understand. I used to believe in this way and God did this and that and it don't work anymore. What's wrong? He expects you to grow up.
Amen.
And you didn't.
Amen.
See, I got it the baby way. Yeah. And I still want to get it the baby way. I've been a Christian now for 30 years and I'm still doing it the baby way. Now, I'm telling you this is experience. I tried it. Didn't work. How did the Lord tell me one time? you ain't going to get it anymore the way you used to. He told me. See, this is one of my God encounters. See, they were all really wonderfully cheerful. Always saying, Ed, how sweet you are. Yes, you just wonder. No. He said, Ed, get your diaper. I'll put on the big boy pants. Be good if that was preached in the church today. Because I'm going to tell you, we got churches with 30,000 diapered people in it.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
And the pastor still with plastic pants on. You know, he got the rubber pants on. Bad boy. Hallelujah. That's good preaching there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One thing is the Lord wants me to deal with you concerning future, because this is important, not with just you. I want to say, you want to know the Word, but you want to learn to know the Holy Ghost, because as many as are led by the Spirit. Many times we fall to things and do to things. I want to talk about something here. Something that, there was a thing said by one of the visitations that Kenneth Hagin had, where the Lord appeared to him and talked about it. Kenneth Hagin's wife had a medical problem and was very serious. But having an operation, the doctors told her it was a good chance she'd die if she'd be operated. It was a very good chance she'd die. It was very high. It was more than, so they were sort of in this bit of a dilemma anyhow. And Kenneth Hagin, because the number one is, don't matter how much faith he has to do with his wife. You need to understand this about people. You know, there's certain things. When I started off in my Christian walk, when Wanda was, you know, just starting off in Christian, I was ahead of her on things. There was things that I could do for her by my faith, but she had to develop hers. There's things that I can't do for her. I can sure join together with her faith. We sure know how to do that. We can join together in our faith. But she had to grow in her faith. Is today, there's things that I can't do for her. I don't care how much you do. It's going to require her to a response. And you need to understand this. So Kenneth Hagin kept getting a sense in himself that his wife was going to die, because she needed to have this fixed, because the thing was going to eventually kill her. Or the operation, it don't sound good. He got over it. He got a sense that his wife would die. And he was in a ministry, in a service, and they were doing an altar call or something. People would come up. But you know, Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin. He said, according to divine destiny, your wife's going to die. She's going to die. Now, we want to talk about this. Because divine destiny is not some kind of weird, strange thing. It's about spiritual law. It's what it is. It's just spiritual law. It's working all the time. Spiritual law. Divine destiny. And because I want you to understand this. I talked about this before, and you need to get a hold of this thing. That as God is sovereign, man is sovereign. You're sovereign. And this has to do with the divine destiny. You're sovereign. You have a will. God will never override your will. He'll never, you know, He don't save people just because people need saved. We have to respond to God by our will. Everything operates in the kingdom by our will. Now, there's things that we can do sometimes for people that God does from a babyhood stage. But we need to understand a person has to, you'll find very seldom that God just runs out and just heals people randomly or just does. That this stuff don't exist. There's reasons for it. Spiritual law must always be followed. God's not a lawbreaker. God's not going to break spiritual law for you. Understand this. He is not going to do it. Why? Because he becomes like the devil if he does. People say God can do anything. No, he can't do anything. God can't sin. If he does, he becomes like the devil. He's no different. God can't do everything. He never had intent to do everything because he only does good. That's all he does is good. God never does evil. He does good. It's always good. And so you need to understand this. In God's response, now divine destiny was this, where God spoke to him about this. I want to talk about some of these because the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said to him, according to divine destiny, your wife is going to die. And then he told her, he commended him about him praying about it. And then he said, you go tell your wife that if she has the operation, if she goes through the operation, she'll live. Now, we need to understand this. This just wasn't a random thing. See, God needs to have Kenneth Hagin speak words to his wife. Now, she had enough confidence to know if he said he saw Jesus. Probably put a lot of confidence. He had confidence in him. You know, when I first got saved, the Lord said to me, don't bug Rhonda, she don't trust you. If I said I saw God, she'd probably said, yeah, you need to have another drink, Ed. See, God had changed. Why? She was afraid that if she had the operation, she was going to die. She was not in faith. Divine destiny was set. God could not just override her will and make it happen. He had to go tell her, God, the Lord said, if you have the operation, you'll live. She had to believe that. In other words, bring her to the place of faith. If she, why? As long as she was in unbelief, her destiny was set. She was going to die. I've had this happen many times concerning people. I had the Lord tell me, person's going to die. I asked the Lord what I can do about it. You can't do anything about it. That's set. They're not going to live. You just get them ready to go home. That's what you do. You get them ready to go home. See, spiritual law, we need to understand this. Well, Randall Greer ran into the same thing. He told a story many years later. Many, many years later, I heard it from him. First time I heard him talk about it is he had a very close minister friend who came down with cancer. Him and these guys, they did a lot together and traveled together and did things. And anyhow, the guy came down with cancer. And he said that we were praying for him. He's talking about praying for this guy. And he said, I could tell, you know, we had a hold on him. But see, one of the things this is what people do. People many times are praying about things and are just doing it from their selves and not from a spiritual standpoint to know what's going on. People usually are trying to pray their will on the situation and not the person. Say, I find this happens a lot of times. People are praying about a person to be healed. And I know this, the person's going to die. I know it. I know it ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you this. If there's things get set under the laws of the Spirit, you can get all the church in the world to fast and pray and that stuff. And if a person is set in a direction and they won't move, it ain't going to change it.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, if we can just get enough people praying. People do that. They don't ever listen to God. They're not led by the Spirit. They're led by what they want. They're led by their own desires. You know, we want this person here, so if I want them here, we can override their will. We need to understand a person's will in a condition. Well, he said, I could tell we had a hold of this guy, but he said, we were in the hospital, and he said, all of a sudden, I got a sense. He said, you know, there was an unhook between it. I could tell. He said, I could tell we lost him. I could tell it. And he wanted to know why, so he said, he never said nothing to anybody, the family or anything. He left and went back to his hotel, which was right near the hospital, and he went back there and he said, I began to pray, ask God, what is going on? And the Lord said, according to divine destiny, he said, he's going to die. Well, he said, well, Lord, why is this? What's going on? What's on? And the Lord told him, he said, basically, he had been in faith to be healed, but he said, he got over here on the other side. He got caught over on the other side, and he saw it, and he wants to come here. He told me he wants to come home. And the Lord said, I can't change that. He has to. I want you to say this. Don't ever say the Lord took somebody.
Amen.
Don't ever say that. God ain't taking people.
Amen.
People either through their belief or unbelief leaves. God don't take them. God's will is this. Satisfy you with long life. That's God. Anything in between is man. Don't go along saying that stuff. And the Lord said, he wants to come home. That's what he wants to do. And he said, I can't change that. He said, it's the divine destiny. He said, he has said himself. He said, all you're praying and all you want to do, ain't going to change that. That's what he wants. See, I found that out. See, when I first got to be a Christian, that's maybe my first or second year. It might have been my first, second year. And I tell this story. These ladies are in this that prayer group that they used to have. Women's Aglow. And they had a member who was dying of cancer, and they just prayed and prayed. And I'll never forget this. I thought it was strange because this woman said to me, I'm a young Christian, she said, I don't understand it. She said, we prayed and prayed and she died. And I spoke beyond my wisdom. I said, well, what did she want? Well, she wanted to die. And I thought, I just said to her, I said, well, she got what she wanted. And I said, she didn't get what she wanted. See, people think that they can change. See, you understand this. You have the power of divine destiny in your life. Mm-hmm. We don't teach this stuff. This is why many times it's good to understand the spiritual condition of an individual. It's just like with this guy Randy's talking about. He made a decision to go. And the Lord said, you can't change this. He wants to come to me. And the Lord said, I can't change it. See, God gave him that authority. Oh, God's control. He make you do what you want. You believe all that junk? Has it been working? See, we made a religion around it, and it's our religion. It ain't Bible, and it's not God.
That's right.
It's man's religion around all this stuff that we do. And we say, make statements. We tried to justify our ignorance by making so-called spiritual things that aren't spiritual. To try to justify how dumb we are. Of not knowing. See, I learned this a long time ago. When the first thing that happens to me when people are in situations and things, the first thing, I don't sit around and pray about trying to get an outcome. I try to find out where they are spiritually. I talk to God about it. See, I'm not God. I don't know everything about everybody. I don't even know the direction to pray. Yeah, pray in tongues, because I don't know. I don't care how you think you know somebody. There's people I knew 10 years in advance they were going to die. I knew it. I knew they weren't going to live out a long life. I knew it. Knew it wasn't going to happen. God tried to use me to bring some things to them to try to change things, turn around. But they had set divine destiny, and they refused to change. They heard. And they refused to change. Now, the Lord said this under divine destiny. Now, this man was in the hospital with Randy. He was unconscious. And the Lord said this, and understand this. The Lord said he would have to regain consciousness and make a change. The change must be done on this side.
Yeah.
Understand that? This is Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I always get a kick out of, you know, a person dies and Christians will say, we need to pray for them. I always think, too late now, stupid. Christians just waste their time doing the dumbest stuff. Once they left, ain't no use praying about them. It's about us over on this side. People do dumb things. They try to get hooked up over here in things, and they try to do stuff about the person over there. My God, we ought to ask them to pray for us. Pray for us dummies over here that are messing around. You know? See, I've had this divine destiny thing operate a few times. See, you get a person in an unconscious state who has not set themselves. See, it's one of these that I learned from this was many years ago. Brother Hagin talked about there was a Rhema graduate. This is back many years ago. He told the story. It's a Rhema graduate. And he was, ended up, he was in the hospital and, He was dying. Doctors didn't know why, but this guy's dying, and they're trying to find out what's going on, and he's dying. His body's shutting down. You know, you don't have to die because you're sick. Your mouth can kill you. And this is what happened. Brother Hagin, they went down to the hospital, and he went to the hospital, and the guy's pastor was there that time. This guy's 29 years old, and he's dying. They don't know why. He's a Rhema graduate. And so Brother Hagin said, we were praying there. And while I was praying, he said, I was just praying. He said, I wasn't praying long. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, spiritual law has been put into motion and cannot be changed. The Lord said, he's going to die. He can't be changed. You see, he's in an unconscious position. So Kenneth Hagin thought, well, what is going on, this thing and that? So what he did is he talked to the guy's brother. He had a younger brother he talked to, and he said to his younger brother about this thing. He said he had a sense that this guy was doing, had done something to put it in this, what it was. He wanted to know what it was. And his brother said to him, all his life he said he was going to die before he was 30 years old. See, going to Rhema might not do you any good. See, he went to Rhema, sat under learning all these principles. But see, he had from when he was young, he would make this statement. He might have started off, thought it was cute, something funny. You know, when you're 10, you might think 30 is a long way off. I've done doubled that one and on the third trip around. Well, he did. He kept saying it. So he went to his mom and talked about his mom. And his mom said, yeah, he used to say that all the time. He's going to die. Well, he did die before he's 30. Well, see, he was unconscious and unconscious. And the Lord told, he had set these laws into motion. And he had set them. And he's in a position. He can't change it. It can't be changed. Can't be changed. Why? He said it. God didn't set it. Well, the Lord had a reason. God wasn't even involved in it. He was. He was involved in it. And so he ended up dying. Why? Years and years. See, I found out, I started off speaking about my health. I would speak about my health. I'd speak about longevity of life. I would speak about those things. I didn't talk other people. Well, the Lord, you know, He takes them and He does all that kind of stuff. Well, I tell you, go ahead and talk this stuff. And the devil, and you and the devil will be a good team to send you home. Now you go to heaven. You ain't going to hell. You're going to have glory to God. It's good. But what's said? See, we know this and this. This is why it's important. People need to find, where am I at before something happens? Have I set myself in a direction? I've had to do funerals of people from this church who didn't set themselves a good future. They didn't set it for them. Oh, they said they believed all this healing stuff, and they believed all that stuff. Oh, yeah, and they did. That wasn't what they were setting into motion. I tried to get them to change their mouth. They wouldn't change their mouth. Absolutely told me, well, I just don't see myself that way. Yeah, well, I did their funeral. We all saw them that way. We need to understand these things. You know, we need to get a hold of this. It doesn't matter how much I say I love God and I live. That's not fixes the problems. It's good to love God. But if you really do love Him, we ought to talk a little more like Him. Wow. We ought to speak things concerning. You know, it's just like sin. You know, I ain't going to talk sin rule over me. I want to do this. I'm going to go. We could go down. I have numbers of scriptures that we go through in the Bible concerning these things. This is important. The reason I'm telling you this because, number one, set your future. Begin to talk your future. You've been to talk your health. This is why I know, and people don't, you know, I know people think, well, you need weird saying, I ain't getting the flu, you know. I don't wait till it comes and say, I'm trying to get the flu off of me. I learned it a long time ago. Man, I'll tell you, there's a sign, a spiritual sign posted on Ed. And when flu comes around, say, sorry, this ain't one of the places. They say, we'll have to go to these ones that are talking it. These ones that are going to get sick and then get healed. We'll go visit them. See, I've been saying this for years. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for years. And see, the Lord, it's like I said, you know, I went back and I hadn't been running for a long time. I started running again. Because the Lord reminded me, you said back yonder you were going to do that. Now get out there and do it. Yeah. Why? If your word ain't no good, you ain't going to believe what you say if you are quoting the Word of God. You won't. If you don't keep your word, if you're a person who don't keep your, you say you're going to do something and don't do it. See, Lord, God reminded me, you got to keep your word, buddy. Now, I want to tell you this. Where I stand, God won't let me get away as much maybe as some of you will. But there's things He won't let me get away because of what I know. What He's revealed to me. See, if you want to walk on certain spiritual levels, you need to understand this. There's much more required of you.
Amen. Preach.
There's going to be much more required. But I'm going to tell you what, the blessings are big.
Hallelujah.
So I want to go higher. I want to go higher. I want to go further. I ain't staying in the little league.
Amen.
You know what? It's fun in the little league. But I'm going to tell you, the pay's in the big league.
Amen.
The pay ain't in the little league.
Amen.
The pay's in the big league. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's where you want to go.
Hallelujah.
Play with the big boys. Hallelujah. The pay's good. Now I want to do this. We're going to read this out. And we're going to have communion. But I want to say, the 91st Psalm, I want to say this to you. The Lord really prompted me. And I'm going to tell you what. Now you have the choice. You can obey this, what I'm going to say, or you can go ahead and just do whatever you want. But this is what God, I'm just going to tell you what God told me, what God gave me. See, concerning things that deal with you now and your future. The 91st Psalm is a prophetic psalm. Its fulfillment was not in Israel. Its fulfillment is in the church. It's a prophetic psalm. Oh, it was a great blessing to Israel. If they walked in it, it's a great blessing. But I want you to get this because I want you, if you do this, the Lord told me that if people would start to start speaking this, get it on, don't sit down here, read it. Number one, write it down and write it first person. Write it for yourself. See, this was written to everybody, but it ain't going to help everybody and even a lot of Christians. It ain't going to help. Because it's no more than something nice written on some pages. When it needs to be yours. See, this thing's mine.
Amen.
The 91st Psalm was written for Ed Gibson. Personally. By God. See, I decided that's what I was going to believe. Now, I don't know. Maybe you don't think it was personally written for you. But see, it's personally written for me.
Amen.
About my life. See, number one, I can have this thing out here. I've watched ministers do this. They have a great desire to reach other people and the devil kills them. No, you got it. Good if you kept alive if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. See, you have to have your side working to have longevity concerning ministry. There's a lot of short year ministers. You know, even going into the ministry, the average person that enters the ministry only stays 5 years. The devil will get them out in 5 years. And you'll say, well, it was the people. No, it wasn't the people. People never change. Some are wonderful. Some are hard to get along with. Some don't pay no attention. Some listen and eat. Oh, they're hungry. They're after. That's just life. Ain't never changed. You can't let people throw you. Hallelujah. Just follow God. But the 91st Psalm. Now, it starts at, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I put down, I live in the secret. See, I wrote it for me. I live in the secret place of the Most High. Said, he who dwells. That's Ed. I'm dwelling. That's where I'm a living. See, I write it for Ed. I am living in the secret place of the Most. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
There ain't nobody in the Old Testament was in the place I is.
Amen.
That's right.
I live in the secret place of the Most High. I'm in Christ and Christ's in God. See, people say, well, maybe I'm not so perfect in life. It ain't even talking about that. Wake up, space cadets. You're saved. You start typing like you're in this place. Because this is where you're at. If you're saying anything else, you're a liar.
That's right.
Amen.
You're a liar. Don't expect good things to happen to you lying on what God said about you.
Amen.
You're in the secret place of the Most High. That's what you talk about. That's what I am. I'm in it. You're in it. Put it on your voice. Don't expect anybody else to talk sweet to you when you run yourself down.
That's right.
Now, he goes on to say, what? And abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's me. That's where I live and this is where I abide.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the place I'll say of the Lord what? He is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust. Now make it. We're not just reading words. These has to be your words.
Amen.
You know, they have these things, you know, like Psalm of so-and-so. No, this is Psalm of Ed.
Amen.
This is Psalm of Ed. This ain't for, hey, that other guy, great, he spoke it. But it's mine.
Amen.
I done took it from him. I got copyright on, heavenly copyright. Look at, it says, surely he will deliver you. No, surely he will deliver me.
Amen.
From the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers. And under his wings. I shall take refuge. His truth shall be, or in other words, His truth shall be my shield and my buckle. See, you want to fall in love with the Word of God, start speaking it like it's something to you. You're going to respond to what you're saying in your mouth. If you aren't responding to the Word of God, you don't have a response, I can tell you exactly why. You don't have response. It's because of you. You don't have response because your words are not things that encourage you. The strength of your spirit can't bring things to pass in you. Your heart's hungry for the Word, but you got this soul that is dominating it, keeping it from going after what it wants. See, this is why you say these things. You empower your inner man. You're not trying to empower your emotions or how you feel in a situation. You're not trying to do that. And His truth is my shield and factor. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilent that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays in waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Amen. See, make it yours. Make it yours. The Lord told me, get people, need to start saying, get over where you're saying this all day. Go through, write it down to you as a first person and read it every day. Read it out loud. Don't sit and go, I'm reading down through this. You know, if you're a speed reader, just forget it, throw it away. I'm going to relish this thing, man. Amen. This is the tree of life. Let's stop and eat the fruit. Let's stop and eat the fruit. Enjoy the fruit. Hallelujah. Because I have made God, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. See, that's what I did. Did you make Him your dwelling place? Well, then say it. Where are you dwelling? Well, I'm just down here and I'm trying to get through to God and I just got a lot of good religious sayings and people think, well, I'm really seeking the Lord. If your mouth's doing something else, you ain't seeking nobody but trouble and the devil knows it.
Amen.
Say these things. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It'll turn around. It'll eventually grip your soul.
Amen.
It'll get your mind, will, and emotions. And that's what you want to do. You want to get it where it dominates it. And you don't quit doing this till it dominates it. So when something comes along, the first thing, you step out. See, these are the people who have put on the armor of God.
Amen.
The others have not. You can read the scriptures and put on the... I'm going to tell you what, put it on every day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Make sure. Go to bed at night, have it on. I don't go to sleep without the armor. The devil don't quit, and I ain't. God don't sleep nor slumber, neither does the devil. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. See, now the first thing that's going to happen to you, you're going to get over in the reason you're mad. Well, something come along now, this ain't working. Go ahead, go there. Go ahead, go there. The devil's done got you now. You don't quit doing what's right to do, no matter what happens. See, my success is maintaining the Word of God, not maintaining what's happening around me all the time.
Amen.
You think you're going to live in this world, nothing's going to come knocking on your door? Well, you'll never keep it up if you're a person that always falls to the devil's trick of saying, well, see, this happens to you, and what do? You bite the hook. He's fishing, and you're the big mouth bass.
Yep.
That's good preaching, ain't it?
Amen.
Don't do it. Say, no, devil, I want to show you. Take him to the scripture. You know, you can come by my house. You can do that. But I ain't going to let you in the door.
Amen.
You can come by the house with your symptoms. You can come by the house with your stuff. Hallelujah. But let me tell you about what's inside of me.
Amen.
I'm the boy with the big gun. Amen. You're in trouble. I know how to shoot you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You see, You rise up on the inside when something comes. Say, oh no. No, 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 no. You get on, and I'll tell you what, this is what will happen to you over time. Things will come, you won't even think twice. The first thing you do is rise up and say what the Word says.
Amen.
You won't even, he can't even, those thoughts come and you'll laugh at it. You'll, oh, that, yeah. That's a bunch of junk. That's what will happen. Why? You keep saying the Word is powerful.
Amen.
It is powerful. The Bible said so. The Word of God are more powerful than any words. I don't care what any president or anybody else, nobody, nobody in this earth, their thoughts and their words are bigger than God's words and more powerful. These words are words that produce. Hallelujah. He will give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. See, you know what you want? You won't be running around praying for angels to protect you. My God. Mm-mm. That's all they do is look after Him. He's done giving His angels charge over me. I said so. You see what it changes things? See, we're mostly, our Christianity is all afterthought. When something happens, let's get God to help. Why don't we have God help Him? Why don't we believe He's as good as He says He is? Is He protecting the saints? Or do we have to sit around and wait for Him, try to get Him to do something? See, most of prayer that goes on is trying to get God to do something He's already done.
That's right.
But we haven't confessed that it's done. We're acting like it's not. Hallelujah. His angels love to watch over you.
Amen.
They love to take care of you. That's their job, and that's what they long to do. It's like a guy had a dream one time and said on the South Mountain, I dreamed a vision. He said, saw the South Mountain, all these angels. He said, Lord, what are all those angels doing out there? And he said, nothing. He said, church never puts them to work. We don't do nothing. Hallelujah. We only want them to look after us, you know, when something we did stupid, we're trying to get fixed. If we would have been heading in the right direction, I don't think we'd have been as stupid. I don't think we'd have had to get so much stuff fixed. I'm speaking by experience, you know. But just saying the right thing. Hallelujah. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I shall trample on. Now, he ain't talking about actual snakes. These are the demonic powers. That's what we walk on. Hallelujah. See, we tread on them. We don't have to wait to tread on them. Our lifestyle should be a tread on them.
Amen.
Our words should always, the things that the devil does, sickness, disease, all the evil of sin, we should be treading on all the time, not wait. Well, you see what they did in Washington. Wow, they did 400 things they never told you about that were worse than that. So, and you didn't know nothing about it. You didn't do a thing about it. When we say the right things and we're talking about the right things, devil ain't messing with us.
Amen.
See, the devil can mess with us. He can mess with anybody else. Well, what are we going to do about it? Hallelujah. I tread on the lions. This is my lifestyle, to tread on demonic powers. I do this. Hallelujah. Casting devils out is the norm. It's not something we're trying to do. That's what we do. We tread on them. In the name of Jesus, you got authority over all demonic powers. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Because I set my love upon Him. Now see, you're right. See, what have you set your love upon Him? See, He's talking about you said, no, I have set my love upon Him. Because I've done, I set my love on Him. On Him. He said, I set my love upon Him. Therefore, He will deliver me. He will set me high. Because He, what? Because I know His name. I know His name. Do you know His name? Jesus is, we know His name. You see, all these things, there's no way that the fulfillment of this could have possibly been in Israel. This stuff all speaks. The treading on lions and scorpions and all that stuff, to them it was pretty much a natural thing. It's not with us. We're dealing with demonic powers. This is the church. I know his name. See, this is the church needs to know the authority of that name, needs to develop in the authority of that name. I know. Well, start saying it. I know his name. Start treating it like it's something important. I know his name. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Said, I will call upon him and he will answer me. See, when I call upon him, he answers. I'm not trying to get God, get a hold of God. People trying to get, no, I'm sorry. When I call on him, he responds to me. He answers. See, it's a whole different mindset of God. It's a whole different way of thinking about him. You don't look at prayers like, oh, I've got to work through this thing. It's prayers. Right. No. When I talk to God, he talks back to me. Glory to God. You start getting, you get out of this thing. I found out this over the years. When I used to start, I was a young Christian. It seemed trying to pick things up and get a hold of things. But when I learned actually how the system worked, I thought, my God, people spend a lot of time getting what's easy to get. You don't have to spend years trying to figure this stuff out and get it. Why? Start saying right about you. I hear from him. See, God responds to faith, not prayer. Amen. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I was a big help to me. He said, Christians have more faith in prayer than they do in the Word. They think, okay, well, you want to, well, we got to pray for people. No, you got to speak words of faith over and they got to believe it. I lay hands on the sick. He didn't even say to pray for him. But we got him faith. The prayer will do it. The prayer makes it happen. Oh, it's the prayer. No, it's not. It's faith. Amen. It's faith in the Word of God. It makes it work. And get into it. See, you'll get a hold of this thing. As you speak this stuff, I'm going to guarantee you, you'll begin to get revelations of God that you have not had before. You'll start, I'm going to, you say, well, knowing God and trying to get to know him. Well, I've known him for my words. I got to know him real good many, many years ago. Because he's everything the Word said. But if you have just religious beliefs, well, it becomes hard to, you know, you're running around out there thinking these thoughts, you know. God's hard to get a hold of. My Father, hard to get a hold of? Would you call a good father somebody that it's hard to get a hold of. It's hard to get in his presence. We've written so many books and put so much unbelief in people that, my God, poor people don't know whether they're coming and going. They don't know. It's like I said, God's better than we preached him.
Amen.
He's wonderful. Hallelujah. He can't wait till you call on him. Hallelujah. He'll deliver you. This is, I will call upon him. What? He will answer, and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. See, you make up for yourself, because it is for you. That's what he, think about this. He didn't say, well, if you're just a real good person and you're really nice, this thing might work for you. The reason this stuff hasn't worked, everybody has tried to approach this stuff on legalistic terms and not the faith. They never confessed it for themselves. They said, well, you know, I'm having a hard time because I'm going to tell you what, if you knew something, somehow you think, he probably must really think spiritual thoughts all the time. Oh, get a life. I'm like everybody else. I am still marveled how God responds to me just because I use his Word. I think sometimes, I don't know if I'd want to talk to me today. And he does. Why? When you use faith, that's what does. Everybody has, Christians are having to try this perfect life. Why don't you try faith sometimes? It's a lot more fun.
Amen.
Trying to be goody two shoes, you don't spend no time with God because you don't think he wants to hang out with you. You don't think he likes you. See, I know what I did wrong. Well, he ain't as bad about this as you are. Hallelujah. Faith pleases him. He didn't say the law pleases him, doing everything right. I've watched this over the years. At first I thought I was crazy until I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about it. He talked about the thing. He said, I've watched people that don't live near as good lives as some people going to church. And he says, yet they can get God to do more for them than the person who goes to church. He said, why? Because they use faith. The other person's trying to get answers from God because they're so good. And I've done this right. And I go into church. God don't do for me because I preach. He does for me because of my faith. I don't get any special treatment because I preach. I got to believe God. Just like everybody else. It ain't by works. I can't boast. Hallelujah. He said, with long life, He will satisfy me. And show what? And show me His salvation. In this instance, we deal with salvation. Really, it's all that God provided through His death, burial, and resurrection. He's going to show me all. See, I'm not trying to dig stuff up in the Word. I ain't got a shovel to go digging in the Bible. God gave me the digger. He's called the Holy Ghost. I don't have to do the digging. He knows all the will of God. What I got to do is, you know what? He's part of the Godhead. You know how He responds to you? By faith. See, I've got faith in what He will do. I don't have a lot of great faith in what it'll do sometimes. But I do have great faith in what He'll... There's one thing I've always said about the Holy Spirit. He'll always teach me. He'll always give me revelation. See, I have people, well, you know, I read the Bible and I just try... Well, your unbelief is showing. You're showing you're this struggle in the Word guy. No, I don't struggle in the Word. You know, it's like having my computer... it's like everybody Googles things to find out how to do stuff today and find stuff. Do you think Google's better than the Holy Ghost? No. Do you think anything I want to know from God, I can't Google the Holy Ghost and Him tell me? Mm-hmm. No. We have a lot of faith in Google. But inside of us lives a member of the Godhead. To have Him is just like having Jesus Christ Himself living you. Identical. That's why I say Christ lives in us. Actually, Jesus is physically. He's in a glorified physical body sitting in heaven. To have the Holy Ghost in you. He said, when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. To have the Holy Ghost in you, it's just like Jesus in you. Did Jesus ever tell the disciples, no, I ain't going to teach you. Just get out of here. You know, if you get down and crawl on the ground and do all kind of things real good, then I'll teach you. Then I'll reveal things to you. Too much we don't come to God by faith. This is why the Lord wants you to take over. This is how God treats me. This is how God is to me. You think He loves you? People say you're just godly. Yes. Quit telling people God loves them and you don't tell Him how He loves them. You know why people don't tell them? Because they don't know. It's just a juicy American word we throw out there. You know how God loves you? This is God toward His people. Now listen, this is how God felt about people under the law. And you're in grace and you're His child. Oh my God. Turn me loose. Hallelujah. Woo! That's right. Write this down. Make it personal. Read it. Take it. You want something to read every day? Read this. I'll tell you this. You want to be a blessing to other people? Know how blessed you are.
Amen.
Quit telling people God's good. You can't give them two good sentences of what He did for you. Oh, He saved me. Yeah. Well, that was a big one. They don't even know what that means. I can tell people physically what He'll do in this realm.
Amen.
To bless me and to bless other people.
Amen.
That's what you want to do. They can get a hold of that. You can tell them God loves you. Hey, God will heal you. How do you know He'll heal me? Well, I heard He healed a guy one time. What about you? Well, I ain't got there yet. Hallelujah. But see, you get this thing in you. I want to tell you what. You're going to become a giant.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're going to rise up. See, it's time the giants rise up. It's time. The church, you know, the years ago, the vision it was had about the sleeping giant. It was a church. It's time for the sleeping giant to wake up. It's time for the sleeping giant. Start to say, this is what you are, giants. You're giants. Why? Because this is God in His fellowship and walking with you. This is what it is. This is what it is. This is what He does for you. This is about, you don't have to worry. You get this in you. You don't have to worry about your life here. I ain't worried about my life here. I'm not trying to get through life. I ain't putting on no backpacks and becoming this guy over just trudging through life. And yeah. No, we're not. We're the giants in the land.
Amen.
You're giants in the land. But see, if you're a giant in the land and you don't know it, This is what you are. This is what God's made you. You're not lying when you say these things. Personally to you. Because this God inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to say into the earth to men, women, here, us. It is for our age and our time.
Amen.
This is for us. This is for you. See, today, God's giving His last call to the church. He's trying to wake the church up to come and step forward in the glory. Hallelujah. Step forward in the glory that is yours. It belongs to you. It is yours. You don't have to ask Him for it. He said it.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what. That thing for us, that's like getting a blank check. It's like getting a blank check. What are you writing it in for? Well, I'll tell you. I'm writing it in for the whole darn thing. I'm going after the... Let's walk around and say that. You would find yourself, I'm going to tell you, you start doing this, you'll find yourself not having to pray about a lot of things. You'll say, this is going to change, this is what's going to happen here. There's a lot of things people pray about and ask me to pray about, and I think, why don't they start using their mouth to talk to it? Why don't they tell it what it wants? Spending time praying. Pray about the things they prayed for.
Amen.
But say about the things, like what the Lord told me back years and years ago, He said, did you notice? He said, in the Scriptures, He said, I never prayed about animate objects. I spoke to them. I learned I never pray about animate things or stuff. I never pray concerning my body. I always talk to it. Tell it what it's going to do. This is my body. This is what my body has to do. This is what God does. See, we talk to it. Now, we might pray for other people. You will. Because, see, you can't speak their fear. They're involved in it. We have to get God sometimes to move on them and do certain things to get them to wake up and to do stuff. We have to do those things. Sometimes we pray for situations for them to move so they can step into a better place. We might have to pray about those things. You might have to. But we don't have to pray about ourselves, but it is much better that we would say these things and begin to say them. Because I don't care what you consider yourself in a spiritual condition today. These things are true about you no matter what.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This is God's will for your life.
Amen.
Just receive it at that.
Amen.
I'll tell you. You know, I'll guarantee this. What happened? You'll get down here and get this thing, and you get out day after day and read, and FY, you're going to get a big smile on your face. You get to see that. Woo! My God, is He good. Hallelujah. So you talk about getting up in the morning and having your oatmeal. Woo! But they used to have that commercial in the boat of oatmeal, follow you all day. Mine's angels.
Amen.
Following me all day.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Because why? He's already given them charge over me.
Yes.
It would be good if I said that instead of saying, well, God, please send your angels. And He said, they don't believe my word. They don't believe I did. They've been down there praying 50 million prayers a year coming up asking me to do what I already did from my people because they don't believe my word. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Well, communion's for the church.
Amen.
Communion is for the church. That's who it's for. See, you ought to say, you sit here this morning and people say, well, you know, am I right for communion? Well, I'll tell you what. What did we just read? Are you right?
Yep.
Or are you saying, well, no, I'm just telling rebellion. I'm going to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is for champions. This is for the church. This is for the great giant, the communion, to remind us we got to be what we are because of this wonderful Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking the songs, you know, they would just use the name Jesus, and it just came to me. You know, we used to need to use the name more. It came to me today. We used to need the more the Lord Jesus. He's Lord. And He's our Lord. There, you know, that word is a great high respect concerning. It's not His name just isn't something great. He's my Lord. He's the one. You know, when you approach the king, if you approach the king, they didn't use His name. They called Him Lord, then used His name. Lord so-and-so. That's His place of position. And the Lord was always above you. Hallelujah. And you know what? He's always above me. He's always above you. And see, we approach Him in this manner today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's our Lord. Father, I just thank you. As we come to these communion elements today, I just want to thank you, Lord God, that you're so wonderful. You're so good. You're so kind. Lord, I want to thank you for inspiring us today into a place that's higher and greater. Lord God, I thank you. We're going to go. Lord, I thank you for how far you've taken us. But Lord God, there's a wonderful ride further. It's a more glorious place to walk, a more glorious place to live. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, all the times that I have looked at these scriptures and that stuff, and even Lord God is going up here and preaching today, Lord, your anointing took them to a higher place. Lord God, a greater place of joy, of your great work in us. Hallelujah. What you've given us, it is phenomenal. Lord, if you just saved us and kept us from hell, that would have been wonderful. But Lord, you have a plan from a blessing of our life from beginning to end. How to walk in a place, Lord God, of security. Oh, Lord God, in a place of confidence. Lord God, I just want to say thank you today. I thank you that these words are falling upon each heart today. Hallelujah. Each heart is being strengthened and built up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Taking their place, Lord God. Because there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord God, you're our champion, and you've led us to the place to be fellow champions with you. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.